Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, King Yayati Achieves Liberation, Text Number 18. Purnam Varsha Sahasrame Vishayan Sevato Sakrit Tatapi Chanu Savanam Krishna Teshu Pajayate Purnam Varsha Sahasrame Vishayan Sevato Sakrit Tatapi Chanu Savanam Krishna Teshu Pajayate. Vasasrame Vishayan Sevato Sakrit Tadapi Chanu Savanam Krishna Teshu Pajayate Purnam Varsha Sahasrame Vishayan Sevato Sakrit Tadapi Chanu Savanam Krishna Teshu Pajayate Navasha Sahasrame Vishayan Sevato Sakrit Tatapi Chanu Savanam Teshu Pajayate Purnam Dvasha Sahasrame Ladies, Purnam completely. Varsha Sahasram, 1,000 years. May, my, Vishayan, sense gratification. Sevataha, enjoying. Sakrit, without cessation, continuously. Tatapi, still. Cha, indeed. Anusavanam, more and more. Trishna, lusty desires. Teshu, in sense gratification. Upajayate, are increased. Translation, I have spent a full 1,000 years enjoying sense gratification, that my desire to enjoy such pleasure increases daily. Purport. Maharaj Yayati is explaining in terms of his actual experience how strong are sexual desires even in old age. Mom Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskadyade Siddharane. And the preceding verses, we've heard how strong material desires are. Of course, there's another side. The next verses will also explain that Krishna consciousness is stronger, because Maya is actually Krishna's servant. we shouldn't spend too much time glorifying how wonderful Maya is. We should spend more time glorifying how wonderful Krishna is. In any case, one should know, as we've heard the previous speaker say, Indriyani mano buddhir asya dishtanam uchate ektera vimohatyatyesha jnanam avrityadehinam. That the senses, the mind, and the intelligence, they're the sitting places of lust. Through them, lust veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. And Prabhupada writes in the Purport, we should know where the enemy lies so we know how to defeat the enemy. But we should know how to defeat the enemy, just like the analogy is utilized, that if a man is walking down the street and he sees a beautiful woman, and immediately the mind says, go get her. But the intelligence says, wait a second, that's not a good idea. She has a dot on her forehead, and she's probably married to that man next to her. But the mind senses say, oh, don't worry about that. That's all old-fashioned. No one believes in that folklore anymore, that old superstitions. That the actual philosophy that everyone agrees upon as the real truth is that if it feels good, then you should try to do it. So try to get her as soon as possible. But the soul is in the middle of both arguments. On one side, the intelligence is saying it's not a good idea. We read in some book someone gave us the other day something about it's not a good idea. I think it was called Bhagavad Gita. And the mind and senses say, oh, don't listen to that foolish intelligence coming from that dead scripture that no one believes in anymore. So the soul, according to how strong his intelligence is, how much conviction he's acquired, both by experience, theoretical, and by practical experience, then he makes his decision. If he makes a decision and tells the intelligence, stop complaining, serve the senses and the mind, then the intelligence becomes a servant of the senses and the mind under the direction of the soul. And so the intelligence says, yes, you should write her a letter, tell her she's the most beautiful person you've seen, and put in little brackets, in the last 2 weeks. Tell her you're madly in love with her, that she should meet you in such and such place, at such and such time. You'll give her the sun, you'll give her the moon, and if she's very nice to you, you'll give her a few extra stars also. But then the intelligence says, wait a second, don't sign the letter, because the man next to her is twice as big as you are. So that's one way the intelligence is utilized in service to the mind and senses. On the other hand, if the soul has sufficient experience and chooses to utilize his intelligence in the service of Krishna, then instead of trying to serve the mind and senses, the intelligence will say, take this book, Bhagavad Gita, go up to the couple and try and distribute this book to them and get a donation. So same observation, a beautiful young lady with a man, one is the desire to enjoy, the other is the desire to serve Krishna. So it's up to the soul how the soul wants to use his intelligence. Obviously, people are not trained in Krishna consciousness. They have no other alternative but to utilize their mind and their intelligence to serve the mind and senses, because they have no other way of utilizing their intelligence. They have no other intelligence. And as it says here, that may go on even up to the time of death. We've heard that story. The Prabhupada has even told us how one minister was speaking to a king, and the king was asking the minister, up until what age is a man lusty? And the minister said, my dear king, up to the time of death. So the king was quite incredulous. He said, how is that possible? So the minister said, I'll prove it to you. Just wait for the proper time. So one day the minister rushes into the king's room and says, come with me and bring your beautiful, the beautiful young princess with you, with us. And they enter into the room of a dying man who was lying in his bed, just about to pass away. The king walked in. The minister walked in. The man didn't pay any attention. But suddenly this beautiful young princess walks in, and the man sits up in his bed, winks at the princess, and dies. So then the king understood that even up to the time of moment of death, one is influenced by these materialistic desires. But Jamunacharya said, Yadavadi mamacheta krishna vidara vinde, nava nava rasa daman yudyantam ratumasit, tadavadi vatasmarane sangame smaramane bhavati mukha vikara shusti stivanam cha. That Yadavadi mama krishna vidara vinde, ever since I began to remember the wonderful past sense of Krishna, and I'm taking ever more pleasure in such consciousness, now when I think of my past association with women for sense enjoyment, my lips curl at the thought, and I want to spite, Prabhupada would say. Yeah, Prabhupada would say spite, but I know it's spit. Vishan vinivartate nirharasidehinam rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though that taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he remains fixed in consciousness. In other words, we have to have faith, if not experience, that consciousness of Krishna is superior to any kind of material experience. If we're situated in Krishna consciousness and enjoying the pleasure from within, vyas parche vasaktatma vindat yatmani yat sukham sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Such a person is not attracted to material sense objects or material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So this conviction to concentrate on the Supreme doesn't come at such an easy price. We can hear and say, yes, from now on I'm going to remember Krishna, I'm never going to forget him. Unfortunately, there are other things that may interfere with that conviction. So whenever Krishna makes a statement in the Bhagavad Gita, for instance, we just have to back up a little bit and probably we'll see what's actually behind the statement. So Krishna had preceded the verse, that particular verse, with the statement of Naprarishat Priyam Prapya, Nodvijat Prapyacha Priyam, Stira Buddhira Samudo, Brahmavid Brahmanistitaha. Person is not attracted or doesn't rejoice when he attains something pleasant. So who's not looking for something pleasant in this world? I don't think we, practically speaking, like it's the holidays, everyone's hoping, they hope that Christmas would be pleasureful, and they're looking for a new year which would be even more pleasureful. So everyone's looking for some pleasant experience. No one's going out of their way to find problems. No dvijat prapicha priyam, and doesn't be lament when he attains something unpleasant. If suddenly we heard that none of us can leave the room and that there's a bomb that's going to go off and we're all going to die, we'd be very disturbed and unhappy. Why is this happening to me? I'm such a nice devotee. I'm too young to die. Although I'm 99 years old, I'm still quite young at heart. So people are thinking like that. They don't want anything unpleasant. They want everything to be pleasant. was self-intelligent. How many of us look around and what does self-intelligent mean? Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Swapake Cha Pandita Samadarshana. How many of us are actually pandits that whoever we look at, we remember they're Krishna's servants? And not only that, but within the heart is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With Lakshmi Narayan or Radha and Krishna are actually in the heart. And that's true for all living entities, not only human beings, but all species of life. One who can actually see like that, they're self-intelligent and unbewildered by this material concept of life. And one who's absorbed in such a consciousness, they actually know the science of God. Therefore, the question is, how much are we actually identifying ourselves with these bodies and minds, and how much we're acting as if we are a body and mind to obtain something pleasant, to avoid something unpleasant? How many of us are self-intelligent, who actually see at least through the eyes of the scripture, who are unbewildered, who see through the eyes of scripture conclusively? Now we look through the scriptures and we don't know what it's talking about. Or are confused, or we think one way, someone else comes along and says something completely different. And we become bewildered. So we have to learn the science of God by studying Prabhupada's books and coming to the conclusion ultimately that everything here in this material world belongs to Krishna and is all meant for his service. And Prabhupada is given us instructions, we're supposed to distribute Krishna consciousness to others, especially in the form of transcendental literature, the holy name and prasadam, or just helping others become somehow or another, give them the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. How many of us are meditating on that mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 24 hours a day? If we are, then we know the science of God. Then we will actually develop gradually this meditation upon Krishna. And yehi samsparsha bhoga dukha yone evate adyantavanta kontiya nateshu ramate buddha. Such a person is not attracted to the temporary sense pleasure because such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. So, we're attracted to some temporary sense pleasure because we don't either experience the eternal pleasure of Krishna consciousness, or we don't have enough faith that there is such a thing and that I should sacrifice my present energies to and tolerate the urges of the senses in order to achieve it. We don't have enough intelligence, enough conviction, and therefore we utilize our intelligence in the service of the senses and mind rather than saying, wait a second, this is just going to be punak punas charvita charvananam. It's just going to be the same thing over and over again. The same eating, the same sleeping, the same mating, the same defending, as I've been doing since time immemorial, which has simply gotten me this body and will give me my next body too. So let me try something different, at least temporarily for this lifetime. See if I can get something out of tolerating. Shakno dihaiva yaksho dum prakshari revi mokshana kama krodo budvande gan vimukta susaki naraha. Shakno dihaiva. One is able to tolerate the urges of the senses of the mind and check the force of desire and anger. He is happy in this world. He's actually called a yogi. Shaknodhyayva yakshodun prakshari revi mokshanat kamakrodo bhavan vegan si yukta sasukinara. And he's actually happy in this world. So this is our conviction. Not just to tolerate the senses and try to remain aloof. No, do something positive. So we have to develop a taste for the positive. A taste for sitting down and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and not think, oh, I already heard this. It didn't work yesterday. Probably won't work today. same old Hare Krishna mantra. How is it possible Krishna and his name could be the same? I don't experience it. For me, I could chant for millions of years. It's going to be the same old Hare Krishna Maha mantra. I'm as close to Krishna now as I was 25 years ago. So why should I think the next 25 years after this, if I'm still here, it's going to be any different? Schnick, schnick, ram, ram, day, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. So we have to have some conviction. The fault is not in the Maha Mantra. The fault is I haven't learned how to chant the Hare Krishna Mantra because I don't really believe that I want to become Krishna's servant. I'm afraid if I chant too nicely, too happily, too free from anxiety, if I actually try to feel Krishna's presence, then all my material plans will be spoiled. My hopes for love in this material world will all be dashed to pieces, and I'll be forced to remain a humble servant of Krishna, and even his devotees too. How embarrassing. So we fear, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, we fear a personal spiritual identity. Now I'm this body, or at least I think I am. I have so many things going for me, so many positions, so much wealth, so much appetite to eating and sleeping, mating, defending. And if I become a little tiny spiritual soul, I lose everything. Then I just become humbler, smaller than the, if not humbler than the great blade of grass, much smaller than a blade of grass. So, either we're in the consciousness that I'm this body and there's nothing more than the body, I better get something while I can for my happiness here in the material world. Or I may be a spiritual soul, but who knows what my position is. I'm so insignificant. Better to be significant here than insignificant there. Just one of unlimited servants. Here I can imagine myself to be the king, and there I realize I'm completely useless. Or there's nothing beyond this material world. Or maybe there is, but I don't really know, so let me just enjoy while I can, while I got the opportunity. And then we'll find out later what happens. So there are so many things going through our minds. Unless we read Prabhupada's books, unless we become convinced that I'm actually a spiritual soul, and that there is a higher experience in Krishna consciousness, then we remain flickering on the mundane, on the mental platform, enjoy or tolerate or put my mind on Krishna or whatever. We just go back and forth like a ping pong ball between Maya and Krishna consciousness. So one has to develop the conviction that we've already been there, we've already experienced what the material energy is like. So now let us try a little bit to experience what the spiritual energy is like. And what is that? Coming to the program, chanting Hare Krishna, try to do it offenselessly, happily, attentively. Try to read Prabhupada's books, try to preach Krishna consciousness to others, try to utilize our resources, whatever we have, in a productive way to spread Krishna consciousness. Try to focus more on Krishna and his mission, and then see if we don't remember Krishna more. And if by remembering Krishna, we don't actually experience more happiness than we do from our material sense pleasure. In any case, even if it doesn't work, that we don't have to worry about it, because we'll get another chance to enjoy. As I said that story before, and when Prabhupada was coming, he was in Los Angeles here, and he was coming back from his doctor's appointment. He passed by a movie theater, and the title of the movie was, Is There Sex After Death? So Prabhupada came back, and he gave the morning lecture, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he mentioned, I passed by this movie theater, and the title of the movie was, Is There Sex After Death? And the devotees, most of them were going out in book distribution. So Prabhupada said, you should go out and tell people that they don't have to worry, that there is sex after death in 8,400,000 species of life. If you tell them that, then they won't worry about having to die. So the material world is the purpose of material existence, it all culminates in the romantic relationship between the mundane Prakriti and the Purusha, imitating Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, trying to find eternal happiness here in a temporary miserable place. But people are convinced that that's the way of doing it. But somehow or another, if they hear about the real loving relationships that Krishna has with his devotees, and at the same time the devotees are able to become absorbed in their service to the disciple succession coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, become instruments of the Sankirtan movement, try to actually seriously help others become Krishna conscious, then we'll become empowered to actually be able to become a via media for the love of our acharyas and to the Panchatattva, the six Goswamis, the compassion they have for the fallen conditioned souls, to bring them back to the lotus feet of Krishna and his pastimes in the spiritual world. So if our heart becomes purified, a transparent media, then we'll be able to benedict others, and that way we'll be automatically benedicted ourselves. Unless we become an instrument for the previous acharyas, then we won't be able to experience Krishna consciousness in a practical way ourselves either. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Well, no. Go ahead. Repeat the question. Do you want to repeat it?
You were mentioning the, because I thought about this before too, so I could relate to this, that the intelligence and the mind having a battle with the soul in a sense, because they're impure and the soul is making the decision really. So it seems like the intelligence has its, the soul has its own intelligence that's pure, but it with the help of the material intelligence, it makes bad decisions. So I'm just wondering that if once the mind and intelligence become purified by Krishna consciousness, are they then non-different from the soul, or?
Well, in one sense, the soul, they become non-different, but they don't become the soul. The soul has his mind and intelligence. And the material body, as Krishna says, bhumir apanalo vayu, kamano buddha evacha, ahankara iti ame bina prakriti ashtata, earth, water, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So there is a material mind, intelligence, and false ego. But when they become purified, and then the soul's intelligence becomes dovetailed with the purified intelligence. So that purified intelligence means when that intelligence helps us remember Krishna, and the mind is absorbed in thinking about Krishna, and when the senses engage in Krishna service, then the soul's intelligence, spiritual intelligence, is woken up again. He's able to see everything as it really is. Soul always has pure intelligence. He has nothing to do with the material energy. But just like when our eyes we put on colored glasses, then it appears everything is colored. But it's not colored. Everything isn't colored. The glasses are colored. We're seeing everything is colored. So when the senses, mind, and intelligence become purified, then the soul sees things as they really are and experiences things as they really are. Then his desires are in reality rather than an illusion, because his desires are completely dovetailed with reality, therefore he gets the full mercy of Krishna. Is that clear?
Yes, thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande Hari Bol.